It's great to be here again with you today. I'm sorry that Mitch is sick, that I have to be here. But I always enjoy bringing you a message, and I actually brought a visual aid. The first stop sign was invented about 100 years ago, 101 years ago, something like that, by a man named William Philip Eno. And it was first put up in Detroit, Michigan. It didn't look like this. It was a lot smaller. It was white, had black text on it. But it served the same purpose. You know, at the intersection of Downs and Dolphin, I remember there being at least 4 rollover accidents. This was back in the early 2000s. You know, there might have been more accidents. I don't really remember. But this is where 2 4-lane roads, they kind of meet together there. And there was only 1 stop sign. My roommate at the time, he drove a Ducati motorcycle, and he loved to speed. He would speed back and forth all the time, and he would run that stop sign, along with many other people that would all run that stop sign. You know, he felt like he was going to be fine. He felt like there was nothing wrong. He was invincible. Nothing was going to happen to him. Accident after accident was happening, but he felt that he would be fine. You know, stop signs are not subjective. You can't just run one because you feel like it would be okay. I saw the accidents. He saw the accidents. We both knew it was dangerous. People got hurt at that intersection. The Bible is also not subjective. We read it. It is not subject to our interpretation. It does not change because we feel it should. Our Creator made us. He put us in a garden. He said, "Do not eat from the tree of good and evil." We did. And when we did, it instantly put us at odds with our God. It instantly put a wall between us and our Creator. And this is a fact. Jeremiah 10:23. "I know, O Lord, that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walks to direct his steps." Jeremiah 10 talks a lot about men making idols for themselves. They were going with their feelings and their desires and making gods to them. These gods would let them do whatever they wanted. These men felt that they created God. They felt that they could do whatever they wanted as long as they put a God on it. Proverbs 14:12. "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death." I don't know how many people died at that intersection. I don't even know for sure how many accidents happened there. I do know that there was a lot of people thinking that they could run that stop sign. Running that stop sign just wasn't safe. You know, many of them totaled their cars and at a minimum had to get some body work done. Some of those people, they had to go to the hospital. Some of those people died. When William Phelps Eno put that first sign up, he wanted to let people know that there was a danger out there. This was not a subjective thing. This was not an opinion. People needed to stop. People needed to stop or they would die. Proverbs 28:26. "Whoever trusts in his mind is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom will be delivered." When Solomon wrote this verse, he wasn't just writing an opinion piece. He was saying, we cannot trust ourselves. We need something bigger. We need to trust God. God will deliver us from any error that we talk ourselves into. John 14:5-7. Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you're going. How could we know the way?" Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. This is not a subjective statement. This is a statement of fact. Thomas said, we don't know the way. He did not say that he felt that he knew how to get there. He said, we don't know the way. We don't know how to get there. Jesus said that he was the way. He was the life, and no one could get to the Father except through him. The way to the Father is not in us. My understanding about life has to come from God. It has to come from Jesus. Any other path I come up with, even if it lets me fulfill my wildest dreams or my basest desires, leads to death. Jesus says that the only way to the Father is through him. He proved his authority to say this by raising from the dead. Thomas himself witnessed Christ's resurrection. He put his hands into the holes in Christ's side, and he put his fingers into the holes in Christ's hands. Thomas ate and drank with Christ after he'd risen from the dead. Thomas proclaimed in John 20, verse 28, my Lord and my God. Jesus is not subjective. He is an actual person. His death, an actual event. His resurrection, an actual event. His teaching, just like the stop sign, are not subjective. Stop, or you will get hit by a car. Only follow me, or you will not see the Father. You will not see heaven. You know, no matter what my roommate saw, he kept running that stop sign. And one night, he came home really upset. He'd gotten pulled over. He got a ticket, and he felt wronged. He felt like he was going to fight that ticket, and he was going to beat it. So he took his camera, and he went out there, and he took pictures of the stop sign, and he made it look like it was really hard to see at night, and he even got a lawyer to fight this ticket. I don't know if he actually got off of the ticket. I'm not sure. I do know that he went through a lot of hassle because he felt like he was right when he wasn't. You know, at least a cop caught him, and not some kind of super heavy-duty 1960s automobile. This story could have been completely different. Walking in wisdom is hard sometimes. Following Jesus, being Christ-like, goes against our nature. When we don't do these things, as long as it doesn't kill us immediately, we have opportunities to make it right. That is what being Christian is about. It's about turning away from our own think-sos, our own plans, and getting us... It's about turning away from our own think-sos, about turning away from our own plan that we think will get us through life, and being like Christ and following his plan. Jesus is our Savior from ourselves. He is our lawyer, our advocate with the Father. 1 John 2, 1 through 2. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. You know, I talk about stop signs like there is no decisions that have to be made. If you stop, you'll be saved. For the most part, this is true. There comes a time, however, when you have to leave, when you have to cross the street, when you have to go from the stop sign. How do you do this? You look both ways, you make sure the coast is clear, and you go. This is fine, but we need to realize that not all decisions in our lives have two positives. You can't stay and always go. Sometimes you can stop and get run over by the truck that's behind you. Or worse, you can stop, get run over by the truck behind you, or go and get hit by a garbage truck. There won't always be a clear choice like stay and go. Life is easy when all your choices are safe and obvious. What happens when you have no choice but to go through the stop sign, or die, or worse, die if you stay or if you go. When I was in high school, I worked for Taco Bell. I worked there for about 4 years, and I was changing the soda syrup one day, and I was being dumb, I guess, but I cut my arm on the tank to the CO2. The regulator cut a large piece of my arm out, and it took 22 stitches to sew up. You can still see the scar. I could have waited for an ambulance to take me to the hospital, or I could have gone with my boss. The decision I made was to go with my boss, and we flew through every light, every stop sign from there to the hospital. Maybe I wouldn't have died if I stayed. But I made the decision to go, and we had to take our lives into our hands to get there to save a life. There might be a time when you're asked to make a decision that you don't want to make. Christians throughout history have been asked to deny Christ or to die. We just had a case of this in Oregon where a shooter came up to people and he said, "Are you a Christian?" And if they said yes, they were shot. The choice seems obvious. We'd all like to think that we would say, "Yes, I'm a Christian." But we don't have a gun to our head. Remember what I said earlier about there being a path that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death? We make decisions every day that deny Christ. Every day that deny Christ to the other people around us. Who hasn't called the person that didn't take the right turn at the stop sign an idiot? That's one of my biggest. Is Christ always happy with what we do on the internet? Do we gossip? I would like to think I would stand up and say, "Yes, I'm a Christian." Maybe I would. But my track record doesn't always point to that. It doesn't always prove that I would say, "Yes, I'm a Christian." After my roommate ran that stop sign and enough people complained or were hurt, at that intersection, the city solved the problem. They made it a four-way stop. That intersection suddenly became way less subjective. Now when people stopped at the crossing, they would be positive that the coast was clear, and then they could move on. There was a lot of subjectiveness that was removed. You know, I don't think I've seen another accident there for at least 10 years. When we know the rules, it is way easier to follow them. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth." Knowing the word is the only way to know Christ. It is the only way to let him direct your steps. John 8:31-34. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And they answered him, "We are the offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin." So, what do you do when the people around you don't see the danger? With my roommate, we would talk about all the accidents that we saw. They clearly impacted me differently than they did him. For me, I saw them as that intersection's not safe. For him, he saw them as something really cool to talk about, a really cool event that's different from the normal. Something fun. You know, on the same road, two blocks north, the city had to put in another stop sign. The street's kind of strange. It's a residential area, but it's 35 miles an hour. I used to take this to work every morning and then come back every night on that road. But one day a lady came out and she was throwing palm fronds into the street, yelling, "Slow down, slow down." She did this for a while. And the city finally put in a stop sign at the corner next to her house. You know, she might have just been a crazy old lady, or she might have really been concerned about the dangers of that intersection. But I believe she pushed the city into action. She saw the truth in the situation and started working to fix it. We need to look for the truth. All around us, there are things that can destroy us. If what we are doing is not sanctioned by God, we need to fix ourselves. But we cannot stand around and let the world destroy our friends, our families, acquaintances, and random strange old ladies. We need to be out there working to save everyone. All have sinned. All are slaves to sin, slaves to this world. The truth, Jesus, is the only thing that will set them free. You know, you only have to remove two bolts. You only have to remove two bolts from a stop sign. When you do this, it becomes a worthless chunk of metal. It has no meaning. If you take one down from the intersection, people could even die. Jesus tells the parable of the talents. A talent is 20 years of wages. I know I've done this as an invitation before here, but just kind of go through it real quick. A master gave his servant 100 years worth of wages, and then he gave another 40 years worth of wages, and he gave the last servant 20 years worth of wages. The master goes away, and then he comes back. The first servant, he delivers back to the master 200 years of wages. This master says, "You have been faithful over a little. I will put you over much." The second servant comes to the master and he gives him 80 years worth of wages. The master says, "You have been faithful over a little. I will put you over much." The master then calls the last servant, and this servant returns the exact amount that the master gave him to begin with. The master does not say, "Well done." He takes away all that that servant has, and he gives it to the first servant. And then the master throws this servant out. He just throws him out into outer darkness where there's gnashing of teeth. The master wants profit. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20 says in there in the middle, it says, "You are not your own. You are bought with a price. God is our master. We are not our own. His kingdom is spiritual and has no need for money. But what God wants from us is profit. He has paid a price for us, and we must benefit him. We need to be about the business of helping to save the souls around us." So let's not remove stop signs. Let's help the people be safe. Let's help people find God, find the only way to heaven. You know, I'm a nervous passenger. I won't ride along with very many people. On Lori and I's first date, we met in Bakersfield, and it was about the halfway point between where we both lived. And I drive a Jeep when it runs. I drive a Jeep, and it doesn't have a top, it doesn't have doors, it doesn't have a heater or air conditioning. So it's not a super great date vehicle. So we decided that we were going to drive around Bakersfield and find some landmarks, I guess. We saw a shoe, we went and saw a grist mill. You know, we found these things, and it was great, but she has this tendency, and she drove, obviously, because she was driving her car. She has this tendency to drive really fast up to stoplights, and she obviously found out that I freak out quite a bit, and she promised me that she would slow down, which she has pretty much kept to this day, which is really cool. But she also has this strange habit of talking to me while she drives. This can be really bad sometimes because we'll be at a stop sign and she'll be talking to me and the person in front of us will go and she'll just follow that person straight through. My dad does this too sometimes, just so you know. So I'm also kind of a nervous passenger through life. I know the things that Jesus said about himself are true. I know that the wages of sin are death, and that the only way we have out of this life is through Christ. So pay attention to God. Do not be distracted by this world and blindly follow the people through stop signs. The way that those people are going may not be the way of God. They may just be following their own desires, and that way leads to death. You know, shortly after my roommate moved out, I got a call from my dad. They worked together. Yeah, my roommate had died. You know, he made a bad decision while he was driving his car. And, you know, we had talked about God, but he never believed. Life is short. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. Christ wants you to be his. He wants you in heaven with him. Don't let this world and its desires separate you from God. And if you wish to be baptized, if you believe what God says, if you believe that he's telling you the truth, come forward as we stand and sing.